This is a new stadium, just like the one we saw in L.A. with the Rams and the Chargers, that will be unveiled to the world without fans. So no fans in Vegas tonight. The Saints rolling in there, -4 favorites tonight. Here he is from FS1, longtime NFLer, former Bill Marcellus Wiley. What are you expecting out of this game tonight in Vegas?
Oh, it's going to be interesting. You always get a bump of energy, even if it's going to be an empty stadium, just having the new dig. So imagine when you bought your first house. It wasn't necessarily furnished, wasn't necessarily full of energy, but just the fact that you got something new and nice makes you feel good. Takes me back to my days when we played against the Tennessee Titans, and we used to play them at a college stadium as they were transitioning to their new digs. And the same team rolled out there, but just being in their new environment, and they played completely different to the tune of them being only 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl that year. But I just expect them, the Raiders, to come out with some energy, but that's going to be matched potentially by what New Orleans has been the last several years in particular. Just a team that knows its way, 13 wins last year, obviously coming to this year, still banking on the fact that they can win their division, big divisional win in week one, and trying to come back and support that. No Michael Thomas is going to hurt, but the machine of Drew Brees and Sean Payton should still be enough to carry them past the Raiders.
Well, sticking with that theme in terms of mentalities in a certain building, the Niners are going to be fighting it next week, right? They were at New York. They're at MetLife this past weekend against New York, the Jets. They smoked the Jets, but they lose Bosa for the year. They lose a couple of different guys, including potentially Garoppolo. I haven't seen the latest on him, on whether or not he'll be playing next week. Mostert got injured as well, who's now their kind of go-to number one running back. And they got to go back into that building next week.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, man. That schedule. How does that happen?
And they got to go west before they can. They can't stay in New York because of COVID. So what are they thinking with the Niners when you land back in New York and you walk back into that building where, yeah, you won a ball game, but it was carnage for your team?
Yeah, it's really difficult to balance out the reality of you lost so many guys and really important pieces for your roster, for your team, for your confidence, and the mentality of next man up that every single player in the NFL has to subscribe to. You think about the NFL, and it's not just the Patriot way. It's the NFL's way of how many times I've been in practice, let alone a game, and you see a guy have a potential career-ending injury, not just season-ending, career-ending injury. And you know what the mentality is? You know what you hear from your coaches? I hope he's okay. Move the huddle up 10 yards. Let's get going, guys. Let's keep playing. And it's really interesting how you have to compartmentalize and put those things in its proper place, but still be fully motivated to go out there for the task at hand. And we've seen teams before. Let's go back recent history. When you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you lose your NFL MVP leading candidate in Carson Wentz, and the guys can look around the locker room and say, man, we lost our leader. We're in trouble. And they weren't in trouble. They actually went out there and still won a Super Bowl. So it's just a lot of ways it could play. The law of averages say that the team will take a step back because they lost so many key pieces. But there's a way that they could go out there and kind of play greater than the sum of its parts. And that's the mentality you have to have until you prove it otherwise.
All right, Marcellus Wiley with us. I give you the option of these two quarterbacks. You can pick one of them for the rest of your season. Who are you taking, Cam Newton or Josh Allen?
I love both. I mean, I'm a Josh Allen fan. I think a lot of people out there want to slight Josh Allen in terms of what he did in Houston last year in those last waning seconds and minutes. That obviously is not going to help anybody believe in you. But then when you saw you Cam Newton, woo, talking about hit the ground running. And all the conversation and question marks about his intangibles have to be forgotten right now because he certainly hit the ground running when it comes to him playing in New England. We question his buy-in, his trust in the system, his leadership. And he has showed up to play. All that said, I would have to take Cam Newton just because of the galvanizing effect that he has in terms of his teammates buying in. Here's an example. If I played with Cam Newton, I would think we had a higher ceiling, even if that's not the reality, than if I played with Josh Allen, just to be for real. And in his show, even yesterday, Julian Edelman has won a Super Bowl MVP. Julian Edelman is a fringe Hall of Fame player. And Julian Edelman had a career game yesterday in only his second game playing with Cam Newton, despite playing numerous years with Tom Brady. So I just think that effect of the star power, the impossible being conquered with Cam Newton, give him the edge.
Sticking with quarterbacks, Russell Wilson got the job done again for Seattle last night. I think they were saying on the broadcast he's never had an MVP vote. I mean, is this guy underappreciated, or where do you think Russell Wilson lies in all this talk about who's the best quarterback in the game?
Woo, I think that the long story short is he's Drew Brees 2.0. Drew Brees came along in the years when there was a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning rivalry and found himself just on the outside of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then it shifted from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And Drew Brees found himself on the outside again. Well, I think Russell Wilson's in the same position. When he came in the league, it was Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson jump in, and they almost kind of put him on the outside, despite him having tremendous success and tremendous numbers. But the national conversation has been driven by those quarterbacks I just mentioned. Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Mahomes, Jackson now, and they all have one thing in common, NFL MVPs. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl and should have probably won two, but not an MVP vote in sight. And it's interesting, last year he started fast again. Think about this year, and we all see what he's doing. It's amazing. Last year he had 22 touchdowns and only one interception after nine games. But he didn't finish the season strong when all of the NFL MVP conversation came to Seattle. So for me, Russell Wilson has to do what all great players have to do. If you want to be thought of at the next level and the next tier, you have to be consistently excellent. And he has been great, and he has been a tremendous quarterback, but just short of what those other guys have shown, whether it's in long stints or even short spurts. He has to finish what he starts right now. This year has been insane. Hopefully he keeps it up.
Marcellus, were you fine with the play call for Newton to run in last night on the one with game on the line? I mean, obviously he'd had such an amazing game, but hindsight, you're looking back on it, I would have bet money that he would have made it in the end zone and Seattle made a great stand. Were you fine with that call, or do you want them to be a little bit more creative?
No, that was a horrible call. I get why they made the call. They were leaning into the playbook of power and leaning into the physics. Cam Newton in the power. But the problem with that was you sent the motion to alert everyone you were going there. And more importantly, to blow up a play like that, I played with a guy named Rodney Harrison, who was always a power stopper. Because all you have to do is have one fearless defender, a kamikaze of sorts, who just throws caution to the wind and just blows it up. And we saw that happen yesterday on the goal line, and that play doesn't stand a chance if someone is going to kamikaze the play. So I would have been more creative, a run play option, a run pass option, even a rollout with the potential to pass, something to get him in better space to allow him the opportunity to read and scan the field and then make the correct football play. But that play seemed a little bit of conventional wisdom meets archaic football of yesteryear. So for me, sitting at home on the couch, it didn't look creative enough to allow Cam Newton to exploit the play.
How did you like Tom Brady's bounce back? Do you think all goods in Tampa Bay, is there enough there to convince you that they can get on a roll here? Concerns, or where are you at with Tom and Tampa?
Oh, they're contenders. And Tom Brady, imagine this. And you don't have to imagine much because it's a reality. In 21 years of football, he's never been 0-2. What the hell? And then, I mean, it's insane. But beyond that, the years he was 0-1, 3 years he lost his first game. Those 3 years, He goes to the Super Bowl all three of those years, and he wins two of them. So 0-1 Tom Brady is amazing. 0-2 Tom Brady has never happened in his career. So I look at the landscape, NFC teams, who is there to fear? If you're Tampa Bay, you feel like you're in it. There's no one you're scared of. New Orleans, you shut down Drew Brees, you shut down Alvin Kamara, you shut down Michael Thomas, and you lose a game to a team that has won the division the last 3 years, and they have continuity. And this pandemic, you're not mad at that, and you're not scared. Then you look at all the other teams, Green Bay, which is still feasting off its division. How much better are they than a 13-win team last year? San Francisco just got the MASH unit out with all the injuries. Who knows how they'll return and will they return to form? Minnesota last year won 10 games. Are you scared of Minnesota this year? They beat New Orleans last year in the playoffs. I just look around the league. I don't see the team to fear in the NFC. Everyone has their warts. So if I'm Tampa Bay with Tom Brady on the throne, I fear no one, including the teams that we're going to face going forward.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Enjoy the Monday Nighter tonight. We'll do it again this time next week.
Let's do it, guys. Take care, brothers. Talk to you soon.
Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer. Don't sleep on that team in the north, though. Aaron Rodgers, woo,
yeah.
He did it again yesterday, like just laying a beating on Detroit. And Detroit was up quick. They were up 14-3 before you even turned the TV on.
What is happening there? Is that the LaFleur offense, or is it Aaron Rodgers saying, you know what, I'm going to listen to you? Is he pissed off and motivated by the draft pick? Hayes, as a Green Bay fan, what is your answer?
I think it's all of the above. Everything you said. Aaron Jones came out after the game, and Jones had one of those games. I didn't know if he was going to double down on his season last year. Like, Jones had a breakout, remarkable stat-stuffing season, and that might have been the best game he's ever played yesterday when you look at the stats. And he came out after the game and said, it's even better for us in year two because now we've really got it down, what LaFleur wants us to do. And it speaks to continuity, right? Like, yeah, they didn't have a camp the same way they generally would. They didn't have exhibition games, but they had last year where they really performed well. They were 13-3 and got to an NFC title game. It ended poorly. I was there live. They got destroyed. But since then, they've responded. They don't look like they're, you know, dealing with any hangovers now. Like, they are 8-0 against the NFC North with Rodgers and LaFleur over the past 2 years. They beat Minnesota at Minny in week one, Detroit this past week at Lambeau. I mean, they are doing to the NFC North what the Pats have been doing to the AFC East for years. And if you do that, you take care of your own division, you're in. And they're going to get in if they stay healthy.
The Vikings fans, Kirk Cousins, like, we all know people, the random people that are Vikings fans.
Yep. Messes.
They hate Cousins.
Yep. They got roasted yesterday again.
Yes.
Like, that's week 2 weeks in a row. They got destroyed.
Destroyed. And yep. It's coming to a point where that's a mistake, that whole operation, bringing in Kirk Cousins at that contract.
Yeah.
Massive amounts of money. I think they gave him $88 million.
Fully guaranteed, too. It was like the first time ever. It was a 3-year fully guaranteed deal. And listen, he can't do it alone. He hasn't been good.
I know, but they're not
getting that defense getting shredded, too. Even Phillip Rivers took them for a dance, man. That defense is supposed to be great, and it just hasn't been. Mike Zimmer's starting to freak.
He gets tuned up, though. Like, he's got a little Jay Cutler in him, right?
He's
where people just hate him.
Yeah,
people just hate him.
He's a whipping boy.
Yeah.
He is. But
yeah, they hate him.
Yeah, listen, Brady, I didn't think he was great, but he was good enough, and he's going to get better, I think, with more time with those receivers. And there were a lot of drop balls yesterday. Arians, you know, roasted his receivers postgame again because of the drop balls. But Atlanta, I don't know how they recovered or what happened in Dallas yesterday. I have no idea. Carolina's basically tanking.
Can you explain something to me? Davis Sanchez said this on SportsCenter, which boggles my mind. If it has to be true, he played in the NFL. He was saying the opposition doesn't have to wait for the football to go 10 yards. They can jump on it at any time. Why didn't they jump on the football?
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I don't know what the explanation was. The only thing I can think of is that guys were afraid, you know, you're going to jump on it, you're going to muff it or something.
Loose,
and that exactly, and you're the one that decided to screw up the game. I don't know. I mean, it was one of the goofiest onside kicks in the history of football.
I have never seen that kick. I don't even know what they call that.